Take care to guard against all greed. For although one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Our readings focus us on that reality of greed, that reality that sometimes is kind of a hidden thread in everything we do at times within our lives. You all see in our own sense the sense of greed, the sense of want, the sense of desire to want more than we need. There's an interesting maybe perspective on the psychology of consumerism and greed, perhaps. It goes all the way back early in the 20th century to the Model T car. At the time in the early 20th century, the Model T and Henry Ford kind of had the car. They had kind of a stranglehold on the market, and everything was good. And on the other side, as this Model T is taking off, they've got the model, they're making big bucks. All of a sudden, there's General Motors and there's Chevy. And they're thinking, how do we kind of break into that market? How do we get kind of a market share of that? And we think of consumerism, we think of the economy. There's certain products, right, where you use them for so long and then you have to get a new one. You know, like your car only lasts so long, you've got to get a new one. Appliances wear out, joints wear out, kids and clothes wear out. You've got to get a new one. Something all of a sudden it kind of ends. But General Motors was thinking, and this is something that we take for granted now, but it was kind of revolutionary at the time. They said, what happens, you know, how do we get people, you know, people want to buy something, but how do we get people to buy something quicker than they otherwise would? And they said, how do we transfer psychology? And they called it psychological obsolescence. And so it's psychological obsolescence, and what was how they got into the market was they said, okay, what if we take that same kind of car, and back in the day, every car was the same color, and all of a sudden painted a different color. Same car, different color. Then they said, well, what if we take, you know, the same car and we give it different upholstery? And all of a sudden, then they said, well, what if we kind of make a luxury model? Luxury model is the same car, but it has like a better stereo. And all of a sudden, then into the marketing, here's what happened in the marketing. They kind of played on this idea of pride and shame. So if you had a new car driving down the road, the marketing was, you should feel pretty good. You've got a new car, all is good. Likewise, what they tried to do is the sense of like, if you don't have a new car, you should not feel good about yourself. You need that new car. And so it plays not with something as out of style, but it's geared towards our mind, to making us think we need something that we don't need. They even went so far as when someone bought a new car, having like a catalog for next year's cars in that kind of package as a way of saying, kind of adding some disappointment, even just kind of getting you kind of thinking, okay, there's something better that's coming up. And now we just know that that's kind of commonplace in terms of how our minds think. But so often we think of this sense of greed. Life does not consist of possessions. So often we have this psychology that if we don't have the newest, greatest, best thing, somehow our life is a little bit less than what it should be. We think of it, of course, with like the iPhone. There's always like a new iPhone coming out that you just need to have. You need to have it. It's at its core, it's the same. We think of kids and kind of going back to school. You've got to get like the newest, greatest, best kind of clothes and backpacks, and everything's got to be new. The old might still work, but there's this sense that we need the new. And it's interesting, even in the gospel then, the person starts out and asks, teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. In some sense, he probably didn't need any of the inheritance until he knew that his brother was going to get something. And how often isn't that what works in our life? Sometimes it happens within the course of family that kids are playing and someone might have a toy that they never ever play with. But if all of a sudden their brother and sister grabs that toy, then all of a sudden they need it that very moment. Or maybe there was some chips that were kind of set aside that maybe have been forgotten about that someone had. And all of a sudden, once someone notices those chips, you might have been completely not in your mind. You need those chips just because someone else has them. And so often, isn't that how our mind works? When someone else has something, we feel that we need it. And so often our culture tells us we need more, more, and more. So much is based on that sense of pride and shame that does not come from the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so then we ask ourselves, especially in our culture nowadays, how are we at peace? How do we truly store up treasure in what matters to God? Not the psychology of all this that we try to think we need, but what truly matters to God. I think many of the issues that we deal with nowadays, and yesterday saw on the news the violence in El Paso, and just in our whole world, just all the offenses on life, and there's too many to try to start checking the boxes on, but our hearts just kind of sink in a way. And so much, in some sense, there's this sense of this lack of peace. There's this lack of peace with ourselves. There's this lack of peace with God. There's this lack of peace with one another. And so we as we enter into this Mass, as we hear these words, what in our life has we kind of, have we bought this lie that we need something that we don't need? Is God enough, or do we need things? And so we pray for the trust to acknowledge the moments in our lives where we've seeked more than we're seeking things that we don't need. And we seek to be at peace with ourselves, seek to be at peace with one another, and seek to be at peace with Jesus.